when our family's together and we sing Hudson, when we quit singing Hudson, we'll say, more, more. I want more. I want more this morning. Thank you for leading our time there, the worship team, and bringing our thoughts and our hearts and our spirits together with that of the Father. This morning, the title of the message this morning is The Blessing of Fasting. If you want to get that up, there you go. The Blessing of Fasting. And I know this is a subject that we don't talk about a whole lot. And one of the things with fasting, I think there's a lot of things that enter into it. You know, when you're hungry, you're just not the same. You eat a Snickers kind of thing. You just get grouchy and that kind of thing. But there's a lot of things around the whole subject of fasting, and no way do I feel like I can touch the whole thing this morning. So, and I realize it's a dreary, rainy morning, and I'm going to have to keep you awake. So a lot of it's teaching, a lot of it's looking at Scripture and that kind of thing. But, you know, we live in a culture where there's a restaurant around every corner. There's food anytime you want. There's food available. You can get it out of your cupboard, or you can go to a restaurant. Anyway, have you ever been down to the Berkshire Mall? There's Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Smoky Bones. There's, you know, and you can go on Longhorn, and you can go on and on naming. There's all in just in that there one small area down there. You can pick all kinds of restaurants to eat at. Karen and I, one morning, Saturday morning, decided to go for a later breakfast and do some shopping. And we got down there. This was years ago. So across from the Red Lobster there, the mall, there was a Denny's restaurant. So we were going to go there for breakfast. We got there. The Denny's wasn't there anymore. Now this causes a problem because there's all these Red Lobsters, Olive Gardens, and all that stuff. Nobody serves breakfast there in that little spot there. So we stopped and asked somebody if there's any place that we could get a good breakfast. And they said, yeah, the International House of Pancakes is over by Target. Or so it's down the street and back around a little bit, and you get there. So we drove back there, and we drove around looking for the International House of Pancakes, and we couldn't find it. Well, there was IHOP, so we went and ate at IHOP that morning. International House of Pancakes. You know, you're just not yourself when you're hungry. You see what I'm saying? And none of us really enjoy, we don't really enjoy fasting because it's work. It's difficult. But one thing I want to share with you this morning, there's a lot of opinions about fasting. And the question is asked, should Christians fast? And if so, why? And when should they, if they do, when should they and how? Should Christians fast? If so, why? When should they and how? And so one of the things I wanted to start off this morning by taking some time and looking at some scriptures in the Old Testament. And then Dave Stoner is going to be preaching next Sunday, and we'll see where the Lord leads him with that. I think he might be touching on prayer if it goes that way for him. So I think that he's shaking his head, yes. So looking at fasting and prayer, so I won't be talking a lot about prayer, but I'll talk a good bit about fasting, and then the following Sunday I'll follow up some more on fasting. Matthew 6:16-18 says this, moreover, Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear of men to be fasting. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So even though there doesn't seem to be a New Testament scripture that says you shall fast, it appears in this scripture that is taken for granted that we will fast. And all of us here this morning recognize that there are many decisions that we have to make in life. We are constantly faced with things that we don't have the answers to. And let me tell you one thing this morning. Google is not God. Amen? I mean, you can get a lot of information from Google, but if you're looking for information about where to live your life, how to live your life, and who you should live your life with and that kind of thing, you can look at your phone at Google and you can find out some good statistics about what for mate you should look for, what for place you should look to live and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not going to the Almighty God and seeking Him, you have missed the channel that He has provided for you and I to find out what it is that He has for us individually, specifically you and me. And fasting is one of the most effective channels I believe that God has ever given for us to get in touch with Him. There is something so spiritual connected to food and the Spirit. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why. But one thing I want to tell you that fasting is not this morning. Fasting is not a tool which you can take the arm of God and twist it and say, this is what I want. I want to hear from you. I'm fasting, God. See, I'm fasting. I'm not eating. You need to talk to me. Fasting, what I have understood and what I've seen in Scripture, is an act of humility. It is saying, God, I'm going to lay aside food. I'm going to lay aside anything that will hinder me from hearing you, because in this subject, I need to hear you. Do you see the difference? I need you, not you better talk to me. See the difference? When I was growing up, we raised steers. My dad had a small farm at, also worked away at the same time. So we had like 10, 12 steers in a small stable. The trough, when they were small, was wide enough, but when they were about 1,200 pounds, they couldn't all fit at the trough at the same time. Usually, one of them had to kind of shuffle around, and I was always amused at how they would, when the food was there, I mean, their focus was nowhere else. You couldn't sidetrack them. They would come up behind the other steers, and they'd bully their way in. That's just a whole new meaning to bullying. But they would bully their way in, and one of them would have to back off because they're getting squished. These are 1,200-pound steers. And I just, again, I thought about how when there's food, you know, we have to have breakfast at 12 o'clock. It's lunchtime. 6 o'clock is dinner time or whatever it is for you. You look at the clock. Oh, yeah, I'm hungry. You look, it's 12 o'clock. Oh, yeah, I got to eat. 6 o'clock, I got to eat again. And so we have this here routine that we get into where we have to eat, we think. Fasting is an act of humility. It is not a demand that God speak to you. But I believe that God has a plan for us. You've probably fasted already where, you know, you're getting ready to get blood drawn and that kind of thing. And you've fasted for it, or you've having a surgery or something like that, you've fasted where you went without food, and you know, 12 hours into it, it's like, oh, you're so ravished. You just, you know, you don't know if you can do this anymore, but it's just this is a small part of giving out food. But I wanted to tell you this morning, while that is a fast for a physical reason, let's not miss what the fast is that the Bible is talking about. The fast that the Bible talks about is always for a spiritual connection. The fast is always to connect with God. It is always to hear from God. The fast that is talked about in Scripture is referred to abstaining from food. And I heard people say that they're going to go on a media fast. Or they're going to go on they're going to shower with cold water. They're going to go on a hot water fast. Or they're going to there's all kinds of things that people come up with. They're going to go on a Facebook fast, or they're going to go on a listening to music fast. And you can probably go on and name different things that you've heard people fasting. But it seems clear to me that the fast the Bible is talking about is food, without a doubt. Without a doubt. It's okay to do these other things. Not a problem. And many of us probably should go on a media fast or don't do the hot water fast. I think, but It is something about it that connects the body and the spiritual part of us. It connects. It connects with us. Our days are always often filled with questions about what do I do? Where do I move? Where do I go? Do I live here, live there? Do I take this job, the other job? What should I do? And those are the kind of things that we need God's help with. Here's some facts from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. It says this: one fast only was appointed by the Mosaic Law, that on the Day of Atonement. One fast only was appointed by the Mosaic Law, and that on the Day of Atonement. There is no mention of any other periodical fast in the Old Testament except from the passage. It appears that the Jews during their captivity observed four annual fasts in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months. But other than that, it was this here, this one ritual, this one fast. Public fasts were occasionally proclaimed to express national humiliation and to supplicate divine favor. Number three, private occasional fasts were recognized in one passage of the law. The instances given of individuals fasting under the influence of grief, vexation, or anxiety are numerous. Number four, in the New Testament, the only reference to the Jewish fasts are the mention. In the New Testament, the only reference to the Jewish fasts are the mention of the fast in Acts 27:9, where Paul said is when the fast had ended. And so that was the only one point that was mentioned in the New Testament of the Jewish fast. Jewish fasts were observed with various degrees of strictness. Sometimes there was an entire abstinence from food. On other occasions, there appears to have been only a restriction to a very plain diet. Those who fasted frequently dressed in sackcloth or rent their clothes, put ashes on their head, and went barefoot. And we see how Jesus responded to that in the New Testament was that they should wash their face and go about as though they were not fasting. So there is there are some differences in the Old Testament of ways that they fasted. It touches on a subject that we're all very familiar with, and that's food. Food. It touches on that subject. For many people are very dependent upon food, not just for survival, but there are many people who are dependent on food for dealing with anxiety, depression, boredom, etc. Rather than eating to live, they live to eat. Rather than eating to live to eat. And when this is happening, it hinders us from hearing the voice of God when we're living to eat instead of eating to live. It becomes a god to us. The scripture has something to say about it. We'll look at a couple of these, but in the Old Testament, if you want to, or even just the Bible as a whole, looking at some of the people who fasted, they're right up there as some of the top people mentioned in the Bible. Moses, the lawgiver, fasted. David, the king, fasted. Elijah, the prophet, fasted. Esther, the queen, fasted. Daniel, the seer, fasted. Anna, the prophetess, fasted. Jesus, the Son of God, fasted. And Paul, the apostle, fasted. So it's right there. These are people who, when they practiced, they practiced fasting because they knew what the benefit of it was. And that's what I want us to capture this morning above everything else. I want us to capture anew and get a hold of again the value of fasting. What it does, the benefit it is, the blessing it is that God has given us this opportunity to be able to interact with Him. And we're going to take a look at a few things this here Day of Atonement. Let's read this, some scriptures here that I have. It says in Leviticus 16:29-31, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul. And do not work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Verse 31, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you. And you shall, again, afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And you say, Luke, what in the world does afflicting your soul have to do with fast? Well, in the Hebrew, translated into the simplest form is afflicting your soul is fasting. It is abstaining from food, afflicting your soul. And we can identify, those of you who have fasted, recognize that there is, again, there is that spiritual connection to it. What it does when you're able to lay aside food, get it out of the way so that it is not hindering us. In Leviticus 23, just another verse here, a couple verses. Also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be called the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls. And then verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. So it is recognized as afflicting our souls when we're abstaining from food, when we're fasting. In Psalm 69:10, it makes mention again of this here atonement and how it links it. It says, chasten my soul with fasting, David said. Chasten my soul with fasting. Acts 27:9, where the term fast refers to the Day of Atonement. As I said earlier, Paul mentioned that the fast was finished and they left. And it was the Day of Atonement in the only time the Jewish law was mentioned around fasting in the New Testament. To use the phrase to afflict one's soul to refer to fasting suggests a purpose of fasting. A purpose of fasting. It's not just something we do, today I'm going to fast. It's a ritual. It's not a ritual. It is not something like baptism or something like that. It is not something, and I say that not as a negative way, but fasting is not some kind of thing that we just do because there's a certain time to do it. Notice fasting is something that is between you and God that you choose, or there is called for a corporate fast, which we'll see later on. A couple of things to note here in the Old Testament. They fasted in war or at the threat of it. Israel fasted. In Judges 20:26, it says this, then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. It was when they were being threatened by the Benjamites, and Israel fasted in light of them being threatened, these people coming against them. So also in 1 Samuel 7:6, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. This was at during the time of the Philistine War, where they recognized that they had sinned. They had lost some battles, and they recognized that they had sinned. So, again, they went into fasting because of the war and the threat that was around them. So that was the way they fasted. They also fasted when loved ones were sick. David fasted and wept for his son in Samuel 12:16-17. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to rise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. The psalmist mentions that they, again, he's here, people that came against him the way it appears. Psalms 35, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, these are even the people that were rewarding him evil. He's fasting for them when they're sick. Don't make sense. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting and my prayer would return to my own heart. Another thing we see is they fasted when loved ones died. We have the men of Jabesh here in 1 Chronicles 10. All the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So again, you see there's, again, what we're capturing here is there's different lengths of fast that they did. Some were for days, some were for a week. In 2 Samuel, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. There was a fasting for those fasted when loved ones died. And there are many of you here this morning that can connect with the grief, the pain, the suffering that you experience at the loss of a loved one. I encourage you this morning, this may be a place that God is asking you to fast in light of. You need the power of God. You need the Spirit of God to give you strength and to go on for another day. In humility, bow yourself down and remove yourself from food if it's possible. Just suggesting. They fasted when they sought God's forgiveness. Moses fasted 40 days because of the sin of Israel. It says, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sins. So again, they fasted when they sought God's forgiveness. There was a time that they fasted and went without food. Ahab and Kings. So it was that when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. When he was fasting to be forgiven. So maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you have been praying and you've felt like it just seems like you're not connecting with God. Maybe the time has come to consider fasting for the forgiveness of sin. Nineveh fasted, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. So here it was, the whole Nineveh got together. They said, we are sinners, we are wicked, we need forgiveness. And from the oldest to the youngest, they put on sackcloth and they fasted. They went without food. They missed that meal. Whether it was a day, 3 days, or I don't, yet 40 days. Oh, that was when it was going to be overthrown. So I don't know how long they fasted there. Daniel fasted as he confessed his sins, of the sins of Israel. In Nehemiah, we have the account of Ezra fasting. They fasted when they were faced with the threat of danger. Jehoshaphat fasted when threatened by Edom. He says this, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Ezra 8 says this. Ezra led a fast when seeking the favor of God towards his return from exile. This was what his response was. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the rivers of Alvers, that we might humble ourselves before God and seek from him the right way for us and out of our little ones and all of our possessions. I have my fund a little bit too small and I don't have it written somewhere else, so bear with me as I read these scriptures. Nehemiah 14. So it was when I heard the words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah fasted when he heard the state of Jerusalem and what condition they were in. The Jews fasted when they heard that Haman had obtained the king's decree against them. In Esther 4:3, it says this, and in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther prepares to go before the king. And what does she do? She calls the people. And Mordecai said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Fast for me. She was going before the king, and they weren't allowed to come before the king unless they were invited, and she as well. And so she was going to go before the king uninvited, and she called the people to fast for her. And this was all on the behalf of Israel. So let's stand up. Can we stand up for just a moment? That's good. You can sit down again. They set up fasts as memorials. Like I said, we're a rainy, dreary morning, and we're going to get through this. They set up fasts for days that were as memorials to remember things. And let me get back here. The 10th day of the 5th month was the burning of the temple. So they set up a fast to remember the burning of the temple. The second there is listed as the second day of the 7th month was the murder of Gedaliah. I'm probably not pronouncing that quite right. In other words, on the tenth of the tenth month was the beginning of a siege against Jerusalem. Another one that was listed on the 9th day of the month was when Jerusalem fell. So maybe you're here this morning and there's something significant that God has done in your life. It might be beneficial for you to remember those things. Here's some additional thoughts about fasting. The purpose of fasting. What is the purpose of fasting? Some fasting, as we saw, was just a natural reaction to grief or loss of a loved one, that kind of thing. They fasted in humility, recognizing their sin. So the purpose of fasting, always was the intent of seeking God's divine direction in whatever the situation was. Whether it was the loss of a loved one, whether it was the enemies coming against them. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel like your enemies are in battle array against you. And when I'm talking about enemies, don't look at people. Quit looking at people. Recognize that our enemies are of the kingdom of Satan. Our enemies are the kingdom of Satan. Is that the enemies of the people of God are the kingdom of Satan. Maybe this morning you recognize that Satan has things stacked against you that you feel like you can't get a handle on. Have you considered fasting? What was the purpose of fasting? And it was almost always accompanied with prayer. Almost always accompanied with prayer, the fasting. So what was the nature of their fasting? Some of these fasts were just from food and not water. And it appears like it seems like one of the most normal fasts that were practiced in the Old Testament was a one-day fast. And it was from sun up to sundown. It was a fast that they did many times. And they would even eat after sundown because they would fast from sun up to sundown. When the sundown went down, then they would eat. And on rare occasions, we see that on rare occasions there was an absolute fast. We see that listed, 40 days and 40 nights, and they fasted for a week. And when Esther called them to fast, it was from food and water for 3 days. No food, no water. What was the length of their fast? Now, I covered that. Some fasts were often as for 1 day or for the longest being 40 days. And I want to point out to you again, the fasts that are recorded for 40 days was Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. You want to be like those guys? Try a 40-day fast. You know, I think it's very, again, God would really have to lead you to do a 40-day fast. You better know that it's of God. and it better be done with some doctor's help. I don't encourage just doing a 40-day fast, but if that God is leading you to do that, do that. Turn with me to Isaiah 58, and we're going to try and close here quickly with this scripture, and I was going to spend more time in here, and again, my mouth just keeps going. Isaiah 58, if you could, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 58. I'm not going to have it up here on the overhead. It's too much scripture to read for that, but I want to point out there is some warnings about concerning fasting, and this is the point. If you missed everything else that I said this morning, I want you to walk away here from here with this morning. You may be here this morning and you have been seeking the Lord. You have fasted. You have prayed. It seems like you have done everything possible that you can think of in the book, and you have done everything that Scripture has instructed you to do. You've done a day fast. You've done 3-day fast. You've done a week fast. And it just seems like there's no direction given. It seems like God's not hearing. Let's look at this scripture and see what the Bible says concerning fasting. In verse 58, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet." He is instructing Isaiah to tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God, and they say this, 'Why have we fasted,' they say, 'and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of our fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your..." This is going back again to God speaking to them. "In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and you exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord?" Do you see what they're doing? See what is happening? They used to be a nation that was of righteousness in verse 2 and did not forsake the ordinance of God. And he says they're coming and they're fasting as though they were still this nation who is honoring God, who is not being disobedient to God when they were being disobedient, when they were exploiting their laborers, and they were fasting for the sake of winning an argument. And he says, "Is this a fast? Is this a fast?" Maybe you're here this morning and you have sought and you have pleaded for the heart of God. And I think that in us, first of all, the most important thing in coming into a fast is that we recognize if there's sin in our lives, that we confess it before God, because God cannot answer and will not answer the heart that is harboring unforgiveness or unforgiven sin. He will not. So it is important, first of all, if we are going to fast, if we are going to seek God's direction for our lives, that first of all, that we are honoring each other. Because I believe that's what was happening here, as it says, that and exploit all your laborers. Whatever they were doing to them, I don't know what they were doing to them, but they were exploiting them. And they were fasting to win an argument. And then he goes on in verse 6, and he changes tunes here a little bit. And the God says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" And listen to what he says. "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. And I'm so amused at this here list of things that God said, isn't this what should accompany your fast? That you are willing to loose the bonds of wickedness. What are we doing this morning? What are you and I doing in helping to loose the bonds of wickedness? What are we doing this morning to undo the heavy burdens? What are we doing this morning to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke that is binding people up? What are we doing? We're coming and we're fasting before God and we're saying, God, I want direction, I need direction. And yet we're ignoring this scripture that so clearly calls us out as Christians to be those people who will help those around us to have the yoke broken off, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. What are we doing? What are we doing to help those who are around us? Or are we coming into a fast? And we're not doing this. God said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? And at first when I read this scripture, and maybe I'm reading it, still reading it wrong, but at first when I read this scripture, it says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? That in that our fasting, that if we are willing to let go of ourselves, we're willing to give up ourselves to help someone else be loosed of their sins or their wickedness. It calls for a giving up, a letting go of. If we're going to give food to someone, that we're giving food to them. We're giving our food to them. If we're going to give someone a place to sleep, that we're giving them our bed to sleep in. If we're going to give someone a coat, it's 0 degrees outside, I take my coat off and put it on somebody that is cold, allowing myself to become cold. And yet we come and we bow before God and we say, God, I need you. I need direction. And God says, you're not doing this. You're not doing what the scripture very clearly calls you and I to do as believers in Jesus Christ. If we see our brother or sister in need, tell them to go away and be filled and do nothing. We have done just that. We have done nothing. And here's the results. Here's what will happen if you do this. Then your light shall break forth like a morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. The glory of your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He will have your back. God is saying, if you do these things, I got your back. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Here I am. See, he's willing to talk. Now he's willing to interact with us. You cry out, you call, and he says, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. If we do these things, our light will shine in the darkness. And your darkness shall be as a noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. And he goes on talking a little bit about return. The last verse 14 says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. And I challenge us, I encourage us this morning, and I'm going to quit. I encourage us this morning to reconsider what does God want for us as his children as it relates to fasting. But first of all, let's look at this scripture. And are we doing the things that God has recognized as a true fast? Are we doing those things? Are we being those people? And you know what? I know you can, and I know you do, and I know that there. But we live in a very selfish culture. We live in a very selfish culture. My bed is my bed. Yes, I know you need a bed. I'll try and find a cheap one for you somewhere. Huh? This food is my food. I'll get you, if we have something left over, we'll bring it to your house next week. We're Americans. We are filthy rich. I don't care how poor you are. If you have a car, a place to sleep, some change, you're rich. So as it relates to fasting, seek the Lord. And as we see in the Old Testament, it was something that was used, it was something that was did. Next time we'll look at the New Testament and more specifically how it applies to the Christian. Let's pray together. And we will at this time also pray for the meal that is prepared. And again, if you're visiting with us this morning, you're welcome to stay and be part of that. It should happen here rather quickly because we're all hungry. We've been fasting. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, that we would be able to receive the word from this book, the Bible. God, I pray that we would be able to be led by you and that our hearts and our minds would be able to be fixed on you. Lord, and if it's food that is standing in the way of hearing you, Father, I pray that we would have the strength to be able to lay aside and truly enter in humility in a fast before you, seeking your direction and your guidance. Father, we do thank you this morning for the food that is prepared. I pray that you would bless it, cleanse it, and purify it. And Lord, today we would be able to gain strength from it. And I pray for the fellowship around the tables, that it would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in song.